Welcome to Latter-day Peace Studies presents Come Follow Me. On this podcast, we'll be discussing nonviolent readings of Latter-day Saint Scripture. I'm Dan, and I'm joined by my wife and co-host, Marianne.
The Latter-day Peace Studies Project is born out of a desire to proclaim peace by providing an opportunity to approach religion, Scripture, and relationships with God in a peaceful way. As we develop peace within ourselves first, we can reflect peace into the world around us. The Latter-day Peace Studies Presents Come Follow Me podcast seeks to assist listeners in their approach to Scripture by providing nonviolent interpretation. Our hope is that we can integrate the teachings of the Scriptures into our efforts to find peace within ourselves and proclaim peace in the world. Welcome back to Latter-day Peace Studies Presents Come Follow Me. I'm Marianne.
And I'm Dan.
And this week we have our very last episode of the Book of Mormon for 2024. We are in Moroni chapter 10. It's been the long haul, but we seem to get here very quickly.
Yeah, it has gone pretty fast. Faster for us since we're finishing weeks ahead.
That's true. We're a little bit ahead of time. But yeah, it's been quite a ride, and I've really appreciated getting to dig into it a little more this year and be able to discuss it in ways that I really haven't gotten to in Sunday school or other conversations that I've had. So I hope our listeners have also felt enriched by our conversations. So we're in this last chapter that Moroni writes for us, and these are his actual parting words. So we've gotten his possible parting words probably about three times already, because he's not sure how long he's going to get. And so this is actually finally it. So I find it really interesting in the first verse of chapter 10 that he says that his purpose in writing these things is to the Lamanites, that he's writing to his brethren, the Lamanites. And I don't think that necessarily means that we, you know, don't benefit from this and that it's not also for us. But I think that Moroni's vision and purpose right here, it's helpful for him to think about the Lamanites and having hope for them in their future, because everything seems so bleak right now, to keep his focus and hope in the future generations of that people eventually coming to know the truth and learn about Christ.
I mean, this is his real finale, and I think this ties in for me a lot to the title page. It's a nice little Book of Mormon sandwich. There's going to be a lot of these things that a lot of these things and these themes that he's going to use, that if you go back and read the title page, a lot of the same stuff, same ideas, thinking about the covenant relationship of Christ with his people, thinking about the promises that he's made. Again, addressing the Lamanites, addressing, you know, the Gentiles, asking them to read these things and remember.
Well, and I think it's interesting to reflect a little bit on where we started this year, having just finished the New Testament, and with that finishing the Bible, and just the multiplicity of voices that we get in the Bible, that it is composed of these books that have different purposes and different provenances and different genres and different authors with really different views. The uniqueness of the Book of Mormon, in contrast to that, being that it is a more unified composition. It has, of course, multiple voices contributing to it, but Mormon being the compiler of it, and then his son adding his own addendum, really gives it a unity of purpose that really comes through all the way through the records. It is one person compiling them, where we don't really have that in the Hebrew Bible or the New Testament. It's really diverse, and there's a lot of richness there that we're grateful for. But the Book of Mormon really presents this very different way of looking at Scripture that is more unified and very focused on the doctrinal realities of Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation.
Yeah. I'm struck, you know, in verse 3, we get this idea of when you read these things, right? All these things, if it be wisdom in God that you should read them, wisdom being another interesting little keyword, that you would remember. We've talked about remember before. This is Moroni's invitation to have faith. And how do you have faith? By remembering how merciful the Lord hath been unto the children of men. And that mercy, right, is that chesed, that covenantal love, all the way from the creation of Adam down to the time that you receive these things and ponder it in your hearts. So almost as if you're supposed to imagine yourself as if you were Adam or Eve, respectively.
That all of those covenants that have been extended are to you. I definitely see these verses in a more temple light, as we have discovered all throughout this year as we're reading. This is an invitation into covenant. It's not just to ask and see if it's true, because having a sincere heart and real intent, it's what are you going to do with the truthfulness? You are like receiving a witness that it is true is entering into a covenant.
Yeah.
And he asks us to take that seriously.
Okay. So by the verse 5, we get, by the power of the Holy Ghost, you may know the truth of all things, which seems to relate to what Mormon taught about laying hold on every good thing. And I actually really appreciated this quote. Brent Gardner, I know this is a very one-sided thing, but I have a little bit of beef with his commentary series. It's really, really good. It's 6 or 7 volumes, probably the most robust commentary that exists on the Book of Mormon. But I have a few little quibbles with him, but this quotation really stuck with me. It is true in that it correctly portrays God's purposes. It is true in the same sense that the gospel is true, that the principle of faith is true. Its truth is discernible by the Spirit and confirmable by the Spirit. That really stuck with me, especially, you know, verse 6, and whatsoever thing is good is just and true. Wherefore, nothing that is good denieth the Christ, but acknowledgeth that he is. And if there's one thing that really comes forth in the Book of Mormon, it is Christ.
Yes. Right? Absolutely. Yeah, and that he talks about this knowing through the power of the Holy Ghost, that this knowledge comes as a gift from God, and he advises us to lay hold on those gifts. And I think this is one of the few times, we went back and looked, there are a few times in the Book of Mormon where gifts of the Spirit or gifts of God are listed, but that they all come from God. And that they are all gifts from him that we should diligently seek. And you had an interesting note about the way they're organized.
Yeah, I read some of the commentaries that kind of suggested that there's a little bit of a pairing in some of these. So you get the to one is given by the Spirit of God that he may teach the word of wisdom, and to another that he may teach the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. And then so you get, you know, word of wisdom and word of knowledge teaching. And then you get exceedingly great faith and gifts of healing by the same Spirit. And then you get this sort of single list group. And again, to another that he may work mighty miracles, that he may prophesy, beholding of angels and ministering spirits, and to another all kinds of tongues. And again, to another, the interpretation of languages and of diverse kinds of tongues, which, you know, again, the grouping of all of these does occur. I think we looked and saw that it was in Omni and Alma have sort of similar groups. Obviously, there's, you know, there's some of the New Testament. I think this also shows up in the Doctrine and Covenants, the list of these gifts. And so it's really interesting because these gifts do pop up in the Book of Mormon, but there's only a handful of times when it's like explicitly called out. And this list is obviously different than the one in the New Testament, you know, some significant differences, in fact. But the ultimate point, right, is verse 17. All these gifts come by the Spirit of Christ, and they come unto every man severally according as he will. And then what do we need to do? Remember that every good gift cometh of Christ. And this ties back into the idea of how do you know if a thing is good? Well, it brings you Christ. How do you know if a gift is good? Well, it brings you closer to Christ. It testifies of Christ. And, you know, one thing that strikes me is that the Book of Mormon itself is a gift of the Spirit, and yeah. And we're invited to seek after the gifts, right? So we need to seek after the Book of Mormon in our study to gain a testimony of it.
Lay hold upon it.
Yeah.
Grasp it. I also think it's really cool that because that other list of the gifts of God does come in Omni, I think it's really interesting that Moroni mentions it here, because to me that indicates that he read and is familiar with the small plates, right? It's a callback to the small plates and just how important they were and how much Mormon and Moroni recognized their foundational principles and yeah. How they kind of saw those things. It's like the small plates were the key to understanding all the rest of it, that they were like, oh, we know what to look for now. And then in verse 20, there must be faith. And if there must be faith, there must be also be hope. And if there must be hope, there must also be charity. Those three together again, and how they depend upon and rely upon each other. Then he addresses all the ends of the earth. So up until that point, he was kind of focused on the Lamanites. And now he's widening it to everyone to help them understand that those gifts are eternal. But if we don't see evidence of them, it's because people aren't exercising faith. You have to have the faith first that they're not going to pop up if you're not exercising faith and develop a trusting covenant relationship with God.
Yeah. If you don't see the gifts, your first like understanding shouldn't be like, oh, well, God has abandoned us.
So we need to be looking for and seeking after those gifts and recognizing them around us as well. And then he tells us to remember again in verse 27, remember these things because he says, you're going to face me one day if you've read these words and you will know that I didn't lie to you, that I truly wrote these things and you will be accountable for them. And then I declare these things unto the fulfilling of the prophecies. And that's just such a beautiful summation of the whole purpose of the Book of Mormon. The purpose and project of all the record keepers of the Book of Mormon has been to keep a record of the prophecies that have been made about Jesus Christ and his people, and then all of the ways that those are fulfilled.
The eagerness and earnestness that is happening. And I can almost see Moroni etching into the plates carefully and realizing that he has some amount of space left. And I imagine he wants to maximize the use of space. And so I can see him planning this out. Verse 29, and God shall show unto you that which I have written is true. And again, I would exhort you that you would come into Christ. Like I have to get that in again, lay hold upon every good gift, wake and arise from the dust. So we get a little Isaiah reference. Come into Christ and be perfected in him. Deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if you do, deny yourselves of all ungodliness and love God with all your might and strength. Then is his grace sufficient for you, that by his grace you may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God you're perfect in Christ, you can in no wise deny the power of God. Like just an invitation to like, hey, look, if you haven't figured it out, the whole point is to come to Christ so that he can perfect you. If you're willing to let him do these things, yeah. If you're willing to give up all those things that, you know, would otherwise weigh you down, then he can work with you and he can take you wherever you are.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I love that verse because it emphasizes that we love God wholeheartedly and then his grace is sufficient. We don't have to keep the law perfectly. We don't have to understand the doctrine perfectly. We have to love God with all our hearts. And that's enough. That's enough for him. He can work with that. Like we were talking about in Ether 12, that what we bring to the Lord, he makes enough. All he asks is our whole heart.
The price for everyone is the same, and it's everything.
Exactly. Several mentions of covenants and the covenant as he winds up here. And then he bids us all goodbye and references the resurrection, which we know from the Book of Mormon was a difficult doctrine for some people to accept and one of the foundational principles of their church and also ours, obviously. But that was one of the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ, and therefore our literal resurrection is a big point of doctrine for us because it changes how we view our bodies. It changes how we treat our bodies and the bodies of others. It makes everything real and concrete and makes all of the concrete sacred. And just a quick note here at the end, those of you who know a little bit about language, have a little patience, but I think there are several people who are always confused by the phrase the quick and the dead. Before quick meant fast, and fast didn't even always mean quickly. So this gets slippery here, but quick doesn't mean someone who can run really fast. Quick literally meant alive. So we would say like quickened, right, was another way to speak of someone or something being alive. And so it is paired with dead, the judge of both quick and the dead, the judge of both the living and the dead, meaning all things are under his eye. And I think that's another way of saying, you know, Alpha and Omega. And he also calls him the great Jehovah and the eternal judge. You know, it's just another name for the God of everything.
And that's it.
That's chapter 10. And that's the Book 10. Of Mormon.
Arguably the most read chapter after 1 Nephi 1, I would say.
Interesting. Yes. Okay, I can see that.
Because of the missionary, you know, challenge.
Exhortation.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, I don't know. This year in the Book of Mormon, I have learned a lot more. And I've developed my own sort of, I don't know, theories of faith, right? Ideas about faith, understanding of faith derived from the Book of Mormon. I've enjoyed it so much. And I hope that we have been able to pass on some of our understanding and love of the Book of Mormon to people who've listened.
That's a great way to sum it up. Well, is there anything else that we want to leave with our listeners?
I don't think so.
I think that about does it. Thank you so much for joining with us in these discussions and listening. A huge thank you to our editors, Kyle and Ben, for all of the hard work that they do in getting these podcasts to you. There are links in the show notes to our Facebook page, Latter-day Nonviolence, Pacifism, and Peace Studies. You can join there for more discussion. If you'd like to get involved in the Latter-day Peace Studies project, you can find our website, latterdaypeacestudies.org, and you can get involved with some of our other projects and initiatives there. For Latter-day Peace Studies, I'm Marianne.
And I'm Dan.